here at ACO Radio, American Communications Online, or any affiliated stations or websites are not responsible for what guests, hosts, or call-ins may say. All programming is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only.
Thank you, Thomas R. Becker, also known as Mad Painter. Where are you tonight? He's my GM, and he helps us with ACR Radio. So welcome aboard, all you ground troops spinning around smartly on the planet. We appreciate everybody in our galaxy and our universe, and we're happy tonight to be on Freaky Friday with Janet Carolesson, of all people, out in the Hawaii area, I guess. I just assume that she's where she says she is. I'll be your host with Janet Carolesson, and we've got a great speaker tonight who has his own radio show. He's a musician out of Canada. He's got a new album out, and we're going to have some fun tonight talking about extraterrestrials and with the Allied Command. For all of you people out there, we get picked up from time to time and get to be with the higher dimensionals. So to us, it's fun and we like it. So I don't know how you guys are going to feel in 2020 about accepting information disclosure, but that's what we're all about. So thank you for joining us tonight. We claim to be the Allied Command, meaning we're bringing all our people together, prior military veterans. I'm a former Navy, and Janet worked as a contractor, and we don't know what Kevin did, but Kevin is part of our family apparently, because he has these connections to extraterrestrials and alien contact, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Because let me just say that Kevin Estrella has been welcomed deep into the UFO community. I guess deep would be me and Janet. No, other people too. I'm just having a good time tonight, folks. He's had firsthand encounters, something not of this world. And you can go to Aquarian Radio and read more about that, aquarianradio.com, if you will. Janet keeps up some great data on people. Kevin's a guitarist and composer of the instrumental rock band Pyramids on Mars. All of us love our archons, our DNA rememories, our rememories about Mars. There's a combination of elements, hard rock, industrial, and metal that Kevin uses as a guitarist. And he is infused as a lead guitarist in many melodies that he's been inspired by. And there's some violin melodies of Baroque classical I'm going to have to hear, like J.S. Bach and Antonio Vivaldi. So we'll have to see what all that's about later, too. So I'm sure he'll tell us where to go listen to those. So Kevin's also had a passion for UFOs and extraterrestrials, so he will hear his story tonight. Now, he's spent over 20 years researching, so he's one of us, for all you truth seekers out there, and so he's going to help us understand why we're here and they're here, because we like to hear everybody's opinion and through their own filters. Now, Kevin wanted to combine his passion of music with raising consciousness and awareness of the UFO and extraterrestrial presence. So he felt it was his purpose in life, and this calling was affirmed on August 21st, 2014. He had contact in an interdimensional craft of unearthly origin. So Kevin began experiencing many other related incidents after that, and some incredible synchronicities and music downloads. Ooh, so we got a lot in common with him, because he does downloads through dreams. And you know, that's one of the things we love to talk about, is going into those other dimensions. I'm not sure what neck illusions is. DNA double helix design on his guitar. Oh, that's in parens. Janet wrote this for us, and increased his telepathy. So I guess that's written properly. It's probably in the way I'm saying it. So Janet, fix me here in a minute. So his musical downloads are discussed in the UFO Researcher. Oh, really? With Grant Cameron, one of our favorites. And he put him in his book called Tuned In, The Paranormal World of Music. So he's very well connected already. So many of Kevin's personal CE5 encounters are discussed in Inviting ET by Sue Walker. And Kevin's become very involved with Sandia Wisdom on extraterrestrials using Twitter, who reside in a complex under the Sandia Mountains. Oh, we've heard several people talk about that. And I wonder if that's where we keep Gus, my famous 30 by 30 little vehicle that we used to talk about with Thomas R. Morris and Janet Carolison in Albuquerque, New Mexico area. So he works very closely with Sandia ETs, and we're going to ask him all about that because Sandia has given Kevin several upgrades and downloads. We use those words, whether you believe us or not, it's up to you. But he seems to have something going on a weekly basis. So this is going to be a really fun 2 hours. Kevin's been in over 50 UFO radio shows, so more than I ever thought about except here. And that's amazing in itself right there. So we're really honored to have him because he's out there doing spreading the word. And he's been on several of Janet Carolison's over the last 7 or 8 years. Tonight, we are Allied Command Organization, so we invite him to join us with our Alien Contact Org with Bruce Maccabee and all these other doctors out there, and Jan Aldrich. But we're going to call ourselves the Alien Contact Group tonight with Janet Carolison. So let me let her get on here because she helps us do a lot of things, including getting people and distributing stuff. So Janet Carolison, you want to help me out here? Can you hear me now?
Hi, I can hear you. Yeah, aloha. Coming to you live from Maui, Hawaii, and it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's very nice here today. Yay. So we're excited to have Kevin. Kevin was co-hosting with me for, I don't know, a couple of months, few months, 6 months or something, a year or so ago, and then we kind of got busy. Then I put on the conference in 2018, and so we haven't talked to Kevin in about a year, so I'm really excited
I've
to have Kevin on
to
tonight.
Oh, my first time.
I don't know how you missed it.
I don't know how you missed it.
Anyway.
We all get busy. We just get busy doing whatever. But that's cool because the universe has stuck us together now. So we'll just stick like glue. Well,
now
you want to tell
perfect.
Me anything else?
Now is perfect.
Did I say that wrong?
Whatever you were reading, it was all a cut and paste. So I don't know. We'll have to ask Kevin what that meant.
Okay. I think it means he has
something.
Kevin, neck of his guitar, is what that means.
Yeah,
you know,
he does art
part.
On the neck. If you look at his guitar, there's art on the neck of his guitar.
Okay,
I think that it's probably sacred geometry or something. It looks like DNA.
Maybe it came to him. Okay. Maybe it came
to
him through dreams.
Well,
all right, so is it okay if I'm...
Instead of speculating... Yeah, bring him on. Uh-huh. Bring him on. Okay,
you want me to bring
cool.
him on?
Thanks.
Okay, everybody, here we go. Now, Kevin Estrella... Right here. Kevin Estrella. Can you hear me?
Hey, how's it going? How are you guys doing?
Yay.
It's wonderful. We're so excited to have you back. So what's been going on?
Been,
you said you were hugging a Bigfoot or something? What was going on?
Oh, yeah.
I missed that.
There's all kind. Oh, my God. There's so much has happened in the last couple of years to talk about since Stargate to the Cosmos.
Tell us.
Well, I'm hearing for the first time. Start from the beginning, because
the
I want your whole story, not just half, and we got a good hour and 55 minutes
here. Oh, yeah, I'll be getting into everything. Yeah,
all right,
a lot
start
to talk
when
about.
You was a little boy. When I was a little boy.
Okay, what? Well, actually, first, what I wanted to say was I was on KGRA radio last week in New York City, and they interviewed me. And I didn't realize that they were broadcasting on TalkStream Live, which is like the largest live TalkStream show in the United States. And they kept saying, at first they're like, we're in number 4. I'm like, really? And the next thing I know, halfway through my 2-hour show, they're like, we're in number 2 position. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And then they took a snapshot of the top 8 shows that were playing at that time. And I beat out InfoWars and Fox News.
Whoa.
Yay.
Dude.
Whoa.
I like
I
saying
I was right behind.
Yay,
I was right behind Rush Limbaugh.
Ooh.
I was right behind
Ooh.
Rush
wow.
Limbaugh. Can you believe that?
Really?
I believe it.
Yeah. That
yeah,
is
I was, on, I was on that website. I've seen that website. I know what they're talking about. It's live. Who's number 1? It's live.
Oh, we
yeah.
have to get on it.
Wow.
How do we get on it, Kevin? Let's the three of us do it because we're ET kind of people.
I don't remember.
Let's do some special radio show or something. Kevin, you dream us up something and we'll play. That's awesome.
Yeah,
take us with you.
It.
Zoom. All right, Kevin, that's awesome. So how does that work? It was live streaming. They just have an open channel everywhere streaming through what?
Honestly, I don't know. They didn't tell me the mechanics. I just knew that it was a big radio show that I was on, hosted by Commander. His name's Commander Cobra, but I didn't realize it was that big.
Commander Cobra. I was always called Commander. So that's pretty cool. That we have a lot of things in common with people around the world that we've never talked about or don't even know each other. But there's a lingo and a language that's been developed in our culture and as a tradition. So, Kevin, you want to just fill us in on anything else that's updating? Because that's pretty exciting right there.
Let's let Kevin talk for a few minutes and just tell us his story. So then we'll interrupt. We're all high wire today. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And then I'll get into where things are and what's happened in the last year, because a lot of big things have worked up to this point. Particularly this work, I'm releasing Pyramids of Mars is releasing a new album, December 21st it drops, and it's called Edge of the Black. And the critics are already going crazy over my new album. And what's very special about it is that the work with the Ponte, my Zeta friends, this album is all from the teachings of what they've been teaching me. So when people talk about my music being, I talk about my music being four-dimensional, and that is exactly what is going on in my CD, because I'm playing at a telepathic level. This is what they've been working on with me for the last year and a half. So this is really important, this album that I'm putting out and what's going on with it. Not only that, they've been helping me play at a telepathic level, but they also, back in April of last year, they downloaded me with a course on the tonal language of the whales, of the cetaceans. And I've actually incorporated tonal language into my music. And there's two songs which actually have tonal language in the songs. So there's a lot of important things that are going on in this album that are taking us to a new stage of evolution. I'm not trying to, make myself sound like some, amazing guy. I'm just doing what I've been told, what I've been taught. So, there you go.
Well, you are an amazing guy. Yeah.
Well, I'm just a messenger. I'm just a messenger. But, to kind of start things off, Pyramids on Mars was born in 2011. And it was. I wanted to merge my love of instrumental rock with my, ET teachings of what I've been learning, and education. And I felt like my job was to raise consciousness on this planet. And I kept saying since the year 2000, guys, I'm here. I want to help. I'm here to help. Come down. Whatever it is, let's do this. And you have these passions when you're young, right? But I never realized that actually that was always my calling, because on August 21st, 2014, this interdimensional ship flew across my backyard and flew away. And all these crazy synchronicities started happening after that. And then I met Grant Cameron, and everything was just starting to make sense. It was basically an unfolding of where my life was going to be going, and I wouldn't believe where I am today from where I was back in 2014. There's no way I would believe where I am now today, what's happened to me. So, but the whole thing with Pyramids of Mars, it was to create music that was at my deepest passions. So when I started writing my first Pyramids of Mars album, I was playing from really passionate, coming from a different field, and it was like the music seemed to be writing itself. It was very automatic, and it felt like almost like a colored by numbers book. And at the same point, I didn't realize this. It'd be two years later that I would piece it together, but I became very aware of my extrasensory abilities or my telepathy abilities. During this period of time, I was writing my first album, because all of a sudden, you know, I would think of somebody and the phone would ring and it would be them, or I would call somebody and they're saying, oh, I was just talking about you. It's really funny you called. This started to happen all the time. It was nuts. It was crazy. And I found out that what these are, they're actually called pings. You're picking up on people's telepathic pings. But I was doing this during the writing of my first album, and it was Art Bell's associate at the time who made me piece it together, realizing that I was tapping into this higher consciousness during the writing of his album, which explains why all of a sudden he became aware of these ESP abilities. So it was pretty darn wild piecing that together. But, you know, after that, you know, UFO sighting on August 21st, I reported it to MUFON, and then it would be almost a year later where I would get more answers. And then I found out that the following year it was the Alien Cosmic Expo in Brantford, Ontario. It was the first UFO conference of its kind, and there's UFO professional speakers who are going to be attending. And when I saw Stanton Friedman was presenting, and I was all freaked out because I read his stuff and watched most of his, a lot of his videos and stuff, and knew was very familiar with him. But it was when I saw Grant Cameron's presentation, that's when my jaw dropped. And his presentation was on extraterrestrials and musicians and why extraterrestrials are contacting musicians to raise consciousness and on the planet. So I was just like, oh, my God, this is all about me. And I'm part of something bigger than I even realized. It's like, this is a common occurrence that somebody's doing a presentation on it. And so then I go and I meet Grant and I hand him my CD and he looks at it and he looks at me and says, we got to talk. And I'm like, yeah, we do. And then I saw his presentation on consciousness and about how many other musicians were being contacted by ETs. And then he started talking about the whole process of songs and song downloads. And it's like you shut down the analytical brain and the right creative brain is connecting to some kind of higher consciousness where music seems to be coming out of the ether. And people are writing all these hits and they don't feel like the music, they're not even writing it. Well, what's really synchronous about all this stuff is that it would be several years later after I met the Pontee. I'm kind of fast forwarding a bit here. Several years later when I met the Pontee, and Atini was having a private conversation with me on Twitter. And then she says to me, you understand that music can be communicated at a telepathic wavelength. And I'm like, no, I didn't realize this. And she said, well, you're already doing it. And I said, can you help me develop it? And she said, yes. And then they started talking about, she sometimes talk about the edge of the black. And then I was like, what is this edge of the black? And then what she explained is that this is where creativity stems from. So when you're in a creative state, your brain waves are slowing down a bit and you're getting to like into an alpha state. And this is just not just goes for music, but it can go for writing a book, painting, anything where it's artistically creative. You're getting into the zone where then you're just like, it's like free flow of the information and energy just comes naturally. You don't even seem like you're thinking about it. And it's like it's flowing through you, auto writing. What she's explaining is that they refer to it as the edge of the black. And she says, go to the edge of the black of the universe where nothingness and everything exist. Turn around and listen for the next song to be played to you. So what she's explaining is that the music comes from the collective consciousness, from all of creation, all of collective consciousness. It comes in through you. You're then amplifying your emotional wavelength, your emotional interpretation of whatever it is, and then you're adding your emotion to it, and then you're increasing it through your interpretation. You're creating your art, and then you're sending it back out into the universe. So this is the flow, and this is the exact same thing that Grant Cameron was discovering when he was talking about these music downloads and where is music coming from, and also the same thing was happening not just with musicians but scientists were tapping into this other consciousness field. And then he says, he's going through the list of how many of the greatest inventions or discoveries of man came through a dream. You know, he says, you know, Niels Bohr, you know, the DNA double helix came in a dream. Einstein's relativity, theory of relativity came in a dream. All these things are coming in dreams, coming in dreams. So it's like you tap into this consciousness thing. So that's what I was learning from Grant. I learned from Grant, and then later on, years later, indeed, the Ponte would confirm this. Oh, I got to take a breather. But moving along, shortly after.
I want to just add
sure.
to that. Sorry, I was on mute and I was talking. Paul McCartney said when he wrote Yesterday, it came in one download, right? And he got up and he played it, you know, and he's like, where did that come from? He started looking around. He said, I certainly must be stealing this from somewhere. This is so good and I can't. Yeah, so a lot of musicians, like the Moody Blues, when you ask them, it's like, where did the music come from? And it was all this download. So thanks for sharing that. I saw Grant's presentation. I was at that conference. And I've seen him talk about, and he wrote a book about the music of the extraterrestrial music coming through. So go ahead, continue.
Yeah. So, yeah, because the book that inspired him originally, and he had, you know, talked a lot about it on his presentations, was the book Alien Rock by Michael C. Luckman. And he goes into great detail about different musicians and their extraterrestrial encounters. And it goes, you know, there's so many musicians who have had this experience. You know, everybody from Elvis to John Lennon to... all the members of Yes, Alice Cooper, Ace Frehley from Kiss, David Bowie, Jimi Hendrix, Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters, and the list is endless of musicians, Alice Cooper, all these musicians who have had ET contact, and it's either influenced their music, or they've seen UFOs, or they've met with beings. So it's quite common, but it only seems to be really, you know, musicians are the ones who seem to be having this kind of experience. It's not like it's happening to like golfers or somebody like that. And from my understanding, or at least from what I think is happening, is because musicians are tapping into this creative flow. Through you know, shutting the right, you know, the analytical brain down, so they're already a very creative people, and they're tapping into this higher frequency pure consciousness flow, and that seems to be, you know, the gateway, so to speak, to this creativity experience, inspiration, so to speak.
Well,
so,
TJ wrote a song. It was music, wasn't a song, with music. With Bruce Huckabee. How were you doing that? Was that like direct channeling, TJ? It goes on and on. It's like pre-flow music, but it's really spacey, far out. Remember your session you were telling me about, TJ, how you, and this incredible music? Are you on mute? TJ, you there? Okay, I guess we'll continue. She'll come on when she can. Okay, go ahead, continue. I'm sorry.
No problem. Yeah, I met Teenie much later, you know, like, you know, about 3 years ago, and then she was the one who was,
explain,
you know,
who Teenie is.
Oh, sure, yeah. So,
and how did you
a
meet?
Friend of mine, I met Teenie through a friend who I had met through Misha Johnson's experiencer support group, Starseed Awakening. So a good friend of mine, we've been great friends, you know, ever since, but he turned to me and said, you know, you realize there's a group of extraterrestrials using Twitter. And I was just like, no way, seriously? And so I went on Twitter to @SandiaWisdom, and, you know, you go there and it says, my name is Telcom from the planet Pontel, fifth planet orbiting Zeta Reticuli 2, and we are here to prepare you for official first contact. And it was just incredible. I was following them every day. I wasn't making any comments. I was just kind of following their tweets and seeing what they were talking about, pulling up their historical tweets to see what they were talking about. And I started to realize that this seemed like the real thing. They didn't seem like they were, you know, they seemed like they really knew what they were talking about. And then I, at that time, there was only four of them. There was Teeny, Jurdy, Radar, and Tilkum. So they were the ones who were talking the most. And I started to, you know, to tweet back to them, and then they started to get to know me. And then I, you know, did some private tweeting to them. And then they wanted to, you know, introduce me to their telepath, Sue Walker. And so I guess they were pinging me, trying to figure me out and stuff. And then they, you know, and then I end up having a, you know, a conference call with Sue Walker, and we just hit it off immediately. And we grew close really, you know, really, really fast. And I started having more and more, you know, interactions with Radar and Teeny and Drudy. And it, but it was like, what was really the real leading thing for me to realize that they were really real was one day, because I had these on my website, I sold these t-shirts called ET shirts, which have pictures of extraterrestrials on it that were drawn by Robert Fullington, who I was an experiencer friend of mine. Robert Fullington is in the book Meet the Hybrids by Miko Mendoza. And so I had these t-shirts that I was selling and I was advertising. And then I get this tweet from Radar, and it was, geez, Kev, we really got to get you some better models for your t-shirts, because the ones in your t-shirts are just way too serious and way too scary looking. So I'm like, oh, yeah? I said, well,
okay.
I know four new people for my next t-shirt. And I was thinking them, because Sue Walker had drawn portraits of each of them, right? So they had their portraits, so we knew what they looked like. And then Tilkum says, yes, we would like you to make us a t-shirt. Can you do that? And I said, yeah, I can, because I know somebody who could, you know, put the t-shirts together, and I've got my store. And I said, but here's the catch. I want you guys to come up with the caption. Now, keep in mind, this is a live stream tweet conversation going back and forth, right?
Right.
And so I'm thinking, okay, what'd be a good, you know, good title for the t-shirt? I could see, you know, have that there are four portraits on a t-shirt. Oh, of course, perfect. Just in brackets, you know, in quotes, just "we're here!" Exclamation mark. You know, because they are here. They're on Earth. I thought that would be great. And I was thinking, I'll bet you Radar is going to be the one who's going to come up with the caption. And then 2 minutes later, this tweet comes up, and it's brackets, "we're here," - Radar, because the Radar was talking, with this big happy smiley face.
Wow.
I tweeted back and says, oh my God, that's amazing. I was just thinking that. And I thought you'd be the one who come up with a Radar. And then this tweet comes back and it says in brackets, with utter look of shock, comma, "you mean telepathy works? Who knew?"
Oh, wow.
Like,
that's great.
Oh my God. Did you? And he said, the next tweet is, dude, you're, he says, "you're easy to read, and dude, get used to it." So he had telepathically went into my mind, got the t-shirt quote, and then he tweets it live on Twitter. My whole life just changed at that moment. I was just like, "oh my God!"
Wow!
You can't make this up. You can't make this up.
No, man. You can't. It's I love telepathy. TJ, are you back? Did you drop off? Or what happened? This happened last week. Oh, my God. TJ, are you there?
Really?
Yeah, suddenly, she was gone, and I don't know what happened. All right, we'll carry on without her. I hope we're still recording. Anyway, hopefully she'll come back on, and she'll start talking to us again. But TJ has had a lot of interactions with the extraterrestrials, especially the Greys. She's got a whole story, so I hope she makes it back on. She mentioned when we started, I wonder if that's where Gus is stored. Now, Gus is the craft that was delivered at Roswell. Now, are the what do they call the Pontee? Are they connected at all with the Roswell incident, or was that a different group of graves?
They do. They are familiar with them. I think there is some kind of relation there. Actually, yeah. Yeah,
but
I think
they're
not
the same variation of gray that delivered the Roswell.
I don't have that confirmation. No. No.
Okay.
No, I don't have that confirmation.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And TJ, if you get back on, just interrupt us because we think you dropped off like the show before, and yeah, I'm not sure if we're even recording right now, but let me go check on that. But keep talking. So you're
okay. Sure.
You're having this exchange with the radar, and I've seen, and these beings are very cute. So where can we see the pictures of them? Let me write this down.
Oh, yeah.
I'll add the link.
Yeah, if you